Good morning. Please open your Bibles to the saddest book in the Bible. I guess I need to be a little more specific than that. But I wonder what we'd open to if asked to open our Bibles to the saddest book in the Bible. Some might open them to Job. Some might pick Ecclesiastes. Maybe you went for the obvious choice, Lamentations. I would not have opened my Bible to any of those books. I would have opened my Bible to the book of Hosea. So please open your Bibles to the book of Hosea. Yes, Job is sad. But Job is sad because of what happened to Job. Ecclesiastes is sad. But Ecclesiastes is sad because of what happened to Solomon. Lamentations, certainly sad. Lamentations is sad because of what happened to Jerusalem. Hosea is sad because of what happened to God. Well, what happened to God, you ask? Well, God answers that question in the book of Hosea. And more than that, God shows us in that book how he felt when that happened to him. Yes, some today will tell us that God does not experience emotions. No one who has read the book of Hosea will ever tell you that. In Hosea, God shows us what it felt like to be rejected and abandoned by the people he rescued and loved and healed and cared for. And throughout most of Hosea, God pictures his people to us as his wife, a wife who was rescued, a wife who was loved, and a wife who nevertheless was unfaithful to her husband. And Hosea did not just teach us that lesson. Hosea lived that lesson. In the opening verses of the book of Hosea, God commands the prophet to marry a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. And Hosea obeys that command. He marries a prostitute who then has three children, two of whom are named Not Loved and Not Mine. As I said, Hosea is a very sad book. No book in the Bible shows us the emotions of God like the book of Hosea does. God reveals his heart to us in Hosea, and what we see is love. Love. God shows us his love through the prophet Hosea. Even though the people had turned their backs on God, listen to what God says about them toward the end of the book. Hosea 11, verse 8. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. Yes, Hosea is a sad book. It's also a difficult book. And I think we can see that in the verse I just read and all the strange names that we just saw. Admah, Zeboiim, those were cities on the plain beside Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed along with those cities. And God is saying here, I don't want that to happen to you, speaking to Israel. Well, who was Ephraim? Well, Ephraim was, for the most part, Israel. Now, we know Ephraim was just one of the northern tribes. But by the time of Hosea, Ephraim was about all that was left. The other tribes had been carried off already by Assyria. And so when God is speaking to Israel in Hosea, he's mainly speaking to the one remaining tribe, Ephraim. And so God asks there, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? God did not want Ephraim to be carried off by Assyria like the other tribes had been carried off. Now let me ask another question. If Hosea is the saddest book in the Bible, then what is the saddest part of the saddest book? Most of Hosea shows us the people of God as the wife of God. But that's not the only image for God's people that we find in the book of Hosea. We also see the people of God in the book of Hosea pictured as the faithless child of God. And I think that image of God's people as a child gives us the saddest part of the saddest book in the Bible. If you're in Hosea 11, stay there, but look at the top of that chapter, starting in verse 1 of Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. The image there is heartbreaking, heartbreaking. God is remembering when he taught Ephraim how to walk. God is remembering when he took Ephraim up in his arms, not God's arms, Ephraim's arms. The picture there is a toddler, a child holding up his arms so his parent can hold him up and teach him how to walk. That's the picture in the opening verses of Hosea chapter 11. And God is remembering healing that child. Just like a parent might do when that child falls down and skins his knees while learning how to walk. Yes, Ephraim was rebellious, but that had not always been the case. Ephraim had once been a toddler holding up his arms to God, his father, while God taught him how to walk. And how does God describe Ephraim now? We just read it. The more they were called, the more they went away. And that may be the saddest line and the saddest part of the saddest book in the Bible. God kept calling his child, but that child kept moving further and further and further away. What we see in Hosea 11 is the heartbreak of a parent toward a child who it seems has been irretrievably lost. What we see is the heartbreak of a father about a relationship with his child that will seemingly never be the same again. The author, Thomas Lynch, he wrote a book in which he described the pain that he felt while looking at his own son, who was passed out drunk on the couch after a string of drug arrests. And here's what he wrote about his son. I want to remember him the way he was, that bright and beaming boy with the blue eyes and the freckles and the photos, holding up the fish he caught on his grandfather's dock, or dressed in his first suit at his sister's grade school graduation, or sucking his thumb while drawing at the kitchen counter, or playing his first guitar, or posing with his brothers on the first day of school. That's what he wanted to see. That's what he remembered, but that was not what he was looking at. It's heartbreaking. And it is the same heartbreak we see from God in Hosea chapter 11. The same. God is remembering Ephraim, the toddler, when he taught him how to walk. But God is looking at a very different Ephraim now. Look again at the first verse. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. What does that mean when God says, I called my son out of Egypt? Well, at one level, we know Hosea's talking about the Jews there. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about Ephraim. And yes, Israel was God's son. We see that here in Hosea 11, but we also see that at the time of the Exodus. Remember what God said to Pharaoh through Moses? Exodus 4:22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, let my son go. He may serve me. So at one level, we know that this son called out of Egypt was Israel. The son whom God through Moses called out of Egypt. That was the first Exodus from Egypt. But at another level, we know that Hosea 11 verse 1 is also talking about someone else. That verse is talking about Jesus Christ. God also called Jesus out of Egypt. That event was the second Exodus. Finally, I think we're going to find someone else here who was called out of Egypt. Us. We are also called out of Egypt. And that's the third Exodus. So, this morning, I want us to look at the first Exodus, the second Exodus, and the third. First, Hosea 11 verse 1 is about Israel. We know that the people of God lived in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. But that's not how it started. That's not how it started at all. Israel entered Egypt as guests. Guests. Egypt started out for them as a place of refuge. Remember what Pharaoh said in Genesis 47 verse 6? He invited them to settle in the best of the land. But what happened next? Exodus 1 verse 8, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And what happened to the Jews after that leadership change? Their refuge quickly became a prison, and their food was suddenly attached to chains. And what did God do? Exodus 2 verse 24, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. I love those verses. God heard, God remembered, God saw, God knew, and God delivered. God delivered. He delivered them from their terrible bondage. Were they grateful for that deliverance? No. For the most part, they were not. Israel forgot God and quickly returned to Egypt, and that happened oh so quickly. Ezekiel 20 verse 8 tells us they never let go of those Egyptian idols. And in 1 Kings 12, 28, Jeroboam, the first king of the northern tribes, the very tribes Hosea is talking to, their first king, he built two golden calves, set them up before the people, and what did Jeroboam then say to the people? Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And that then carries over into the New Testament with Stephen in Acts 7, verse 39. What did Stephen say? Stephen says the people refused to obey God, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt. Acts 7:39. And that description by Stephen tells us something very, very important about Egypt. Egypt is not just a place on the map. Egypt is a place in the heart. We can travel to Egypt without ever leaving home. And in fact, that's what repeatedly happened to the Jews. They returned to Egypt in their hearts. They rebelled against God, against the law of God, against the prophets of God. By Hosea's day, that rebellion in the northern tribes was all but complete. The southern tribe of Judah would soon follow afterward. And so three times in the book of Hosea, God says to them, they will return to Egypt. That's what happened. Assyria became their new Egypt, their new place of bondage. Later, the southern tribe, they also returned to Egypt with Babylon. Babylon became their new place of bondage. How does the Bible describe Assyria? How does the Bible describe Babylon? The prophets call them Egypt. Egypt. Why? Because like Egypt, they were also places of bondage for the people of God. People found themselves back in Egypt each time they rebelled against God. Not Egypt on the map, but Egypt in their heart. Yes, Israel was a thankless wife, but Israel was also a thankless child. God called his son out of Egypt, and that son carried Egypt with him in his heart. And that son eventually landed right back where he'd started. Back in bondage, back in Egypt. That's the first Exodus in Hosea chapter 11. But there was a second. Hosea 11 verse 1 is also about Jesus. Well, how do we know that? We know that because Matthew quotes Hosea 11 verse 1 and tells us it is a prophecy about Jesus. Matthew 2, 14 and 15. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So yes, Hosea 11 verse 1 is a prophecy about Jesus, but it is a very unusual prophecy. Why? It is an unusual prophecy because God uses a negative past event as a prophecy of a glorious, wonderful future event. And just that fact alone tells us something wonderful about the love of God toward his people, toward his wayward people. Even in the depths of their rebellion, God was still promising them a glorious future if they would just turn to him and return, come back to him. They had forgotten God, but God had not forgotten them. So what do we know from Matthew 2? We know that this son in Hosea 11 verse 1 is not just the rebellious son called out of Egypt, but who later returned. This son in Hosea 11 verse 1 is also the only begotten son of God. Like Israel, Jesus also found himself in Egypt. And like Israel, Jesus was also delivered from Egypt by God the Father. The parallels are unmistakable. Both events began with a murderous king. He wanted to kill all the Hebrew boys. Pharaoh in Exodus, Herod in Matthew 2. Both events involved a departure through water. The Red Sea in Exodus, the Jordan River in Matthew 3. Both events included a wilderness journey. 40 years for Israel, 40 days for Christ in Matthew 4. And what did Jesus say to Satan in the wilderness? Three times he quoted the book of Deuteronomy, the very book that had been given to the people who had failed their wilderness test. But not so with Jesus. Not so with Jesus. Jesus passed every test that Israel failed. Unlike Israel the Son, Jesus the Son always did the will of God the Father. John 8, 29, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. That could never have been said about Israel. Israel grumbled over bread, but Jesus fasted 40 days and trusted in God for bread. Israel put God to the test, but Jesus refused to test God the Father. Israel bowed down to the golden calf, but Jesus refused all the kingdoms of this world. In every respect, Jesus, the perfect son, succeeded where Israel, the faithless son, had failed. And Jesus was obedient even to death. Philippians 2 verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Yes, yes, yes. God called Jesus his son out of Egypt for a cross. For a cross. The exodus of Christ included the cross of Christ. And I think that fact is most clearly seen at the transfiguration. Luke 9, starting in verse 30. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The Greek word translated departure there is the Greek word exodus. Yes, Moses spoke to Jesus about the exodus. But it was not the exodus of Moses, it was the exodus of Christ. The second exodus. The exodus that Jesus was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. And we know what Jesus accomplished in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Yes, Jesus left Egypt to die on a cross, but he did not stay in the tomb. He's raised from the dead, power of God the Father. He ascended back to heaven. That path of Christ out of Egypt to the cross, then to God the Father, that is the second Exodus. But there is also a third. Yes, Hosea 11:1 is about Israel. Yes, Hosea 11 verse 1 is about Jesus. But Hosea 11 verse 1 is also about us. The third Exodus is our Exodus. We in the church, like Israel, once lived in Egyptian bondage, but our Egypt was sin. Sin is what enslaved us. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. And as with Israel's Egypt, our own Egypt may not have seemed much like a prison at first, but it was a prison. And as with Israel's Egypt, our own harsh taskmaster didn't want to let us go, but God delivered us. Like Israel, God called us out of Egypt. But how? How did God call us out of Egypt? God called us out of Egypt by the gospel of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we are called out of Egypt. We are called by the gospel of Christ. Well, how did we leave? How did we leave Egypt? We left Egypt by obeying the gospel of Christ. And like Israel, we left Egypt through water. Paul refers to the Red Sea crossing as a baptism in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. And Paul likewise describes our own baptism as a great deliverance by God, Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That's how we left Egypt. It was sin that enslaved us, Romans 6, 17. And it was from the bondage of sin that we were delivered by God, Colossians 1, 13. Well, what happens after that deliverance? What happens is that like Israel and like Jesus, we travel through a wilderness while on this earth. And we must be faithful to God in that wilderness. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Like Jesus, we too have been called out of Egypt for a cross. Luke 9:23, he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yes, we travel through a wilderness, but we travel through a wilderness on our way to the promised land. Like Jesus, our cross is not the end of the journey. Instead, the end of the journey is to be with God in heaven. Hebrews 11, 14 through 16. Well, so what have we found? What we have found is that the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms the saddest part of the Bible into the most hopeful and joyful part of the Bible. But isn't that what the gospel always does? Doesn't it turn hopelessness into hope? Doesn't it turn despair into joy? And if we really want to see what the gospel does to Hosea 11, all we have to do is look at the prodigal son. The father who taught his son to walk in Hosea 11 is the same father who ran to meet his son walking home in Luke 15. That is the power of the gospel of Christ. Now, we end today with a final question. Where are you? Where are you? Well, maybe you've never left Egypt. And if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, then Egypt is exactly where you are. You're still there. Now, you weren't born there, but sin put you there. And like the people of Israel in Exodus 1 verse 14, Egypt has made your life bitter with hard service. Today, God is calling you out of Egypt. And we all know that the only way out of Egypt is a deliverance through water. The only way out of the bondage of sin and death is in the watery grave of baptism, Romans 6, verse 4. And you know what? No one who has read the Old Testament could ever be surprised that deliverance in the New Testament involves a passage through water. Where are you? Well, maybe you left Egypt, but later you returned. You went back. You know, the real tragedy of Hosea is not that the people remained in Egypt. The tragedy of Hosea is they left and then they went back. That's the real tragedy of Hosea. They were delivered by God and then later they turned their backs on God. And the tragedy is the same today for people who are added to the Lord's church by the grace of God. And then later return to the world of sin and death, turning their back on their Savior. Peter describes such people. 2 Peter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. Is that your condition here today? If so, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there is still time. God is still calling you out of Egypt. God loves you as a father loves his child, and God wants you to return to him. And when you do, God will run to meet you. That door is open today. But that door will not be open forever. Where are you? Well, maybe you're out of Egypt. That's where you are, out of Egypt, if you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and if you are living faithfully to him unto death. God has rescued you. God has delivered you. God has transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. And what is the most wonderful thing about Egypt for a faithful child of God? It's not the pyramids. The most wonderful thing about Egypt for a faithful child of God is that it's in your rearview mirror. You're out. You've been delivered. You've escaped. But having left Egypt, we each have a choice. Will we follow the example of Israel or will we follow the example of Christ? Both. Like us, were called out of Egypt, but only Jesus always did what is pleasing to his Father. We must follow his example and not harden our hearts as in the rebellion, Hebrews 3 verse 8. Jesus knows our struggles in the wilderness because Jesus walked the wilderness first, Hebrews 4 15. We have been called out of Egypt, and if we have obeyed the gospel of Christ, then we're out of Egypt. Let's stay out and let's continue our journey toward the great land of promise, keeping our eyes firmly fixed on the prize and never, never, never looking longingly back toward Egypt. And for those today who are still living in bondage, God's command in Acts 2:38 is still God's command today. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Will you obey God's command, or will you harden your heart as in the rebellion? That's the choice today. That has always been the choice. God is calling you out of Egypt. Will you come? Please come while we stand, while we sing.